This is the Arts Connection on 90.7. I'm Becky Morgan. This week, we remember a beloved supporter of the arts. We also explore the people who grew up along the Apalachicola River through a new book by a Florida author. The Arts Connection's website is a wonderful resource for information on arts and culture throughout Central Florida. Our new Cultural Links page gives you direct links to hundreds of groups and individual artists. And our calendar lists events in music, theater, dance, film, and much more. You're sure to find something to do this weekend. We'd like to know how you use our website. We're getting ready to launch a brand new one, and if you rely on the Arts Connection's archive material, please email us and let us know. Our email address is arts@wmfe.org. Orange County Mayor Richard Crotty called her the First Lady of the Arts. Patron and civic leader Marilyn Minello died at her Winter Park home on Tuesday following a battle with leukemia. She had been a generous benefactor whose efforts over the years helped to raise millions of dollars for arts and civic projects in Central Florida. Both Mayor Crotty and United Arts President Margot Knight noted that without Marilyn's involvement and support, the cultural landscape we enjoy today might be far different. In 1964, Marilyn Minello was appointed chairman of the Cultural Affairs Committee for the City of Orlando, and the following year she founded the Council of 101, a volunteer group to raise funds for what was then the Lock Haven Art Center and now the Orlando Museum of Art. Marina Grant Morrissey is the museum's executive director.
And they decided, at Marilyn's suggestion, to make the committee a limited number of 101 women. Rather than having a larger group, she felt that by having a smaller group that was truly committed to the Lock Haven Arts Center and also to the projects that had to be presented each year to raise the funds, that they would be more successful than having a larger group that may be more diffused and less committed. So that was a very important decision early on, and I think it has contributed to the Council 101's success over the years.
The Council of 101 has been one of the most successful fundraising organizations in Central Florida history, and it's been recognized nationally. Marilyn Minello also served on the board of directors for the Art Museum, chaired the drive for a new building, and was a member of their executive committee. Marilyn also served on the search committee that hired Marina Grant Morrissey as the Arts Center's first curator of education.
I was so fortunate to be interviewed by Marilyn Wilson at the time, and that encouraged me to come to the Orlando Museum of Art in 1970.
Marilyn Minello not only interviewed Marina, she helped subsidize her salary in support of the Arts Center's vision for providing exciting and meaningful educational programs.
So when I came here, she was one of the first individuals I met, and I could see immediately that she would be an ally in getting really excellent programs created for the institution. And she was. Throughout her life, she was very strong advocate of education for not only children but adults, and getting them to enjoy her love of art and what art could mean to an individual's life. And that was a wonderful thing to share with her, because it was part of her daily life. I mean, she really lived it, breathed it, shared it, and to be part of that as a professional working with a volunteer like her was wonderful for me.
Marilyn Minello continued to help organize major fundraising campaigns for the arts. In 1967, she was a co-founder of PESO, which stands for Participation Enriches Science, Music, and Art Organization. It raised millions of dollars for the arts in Central Florida. She was also recognized nationally and in 1986 appointed to the National Museum Services Board by President Ronald Reagan. She served on that board for 12 years. But Marilyn Minello's legacy is a museum in Lock Haven Park that bears her and her husband's name. In 1998, Marilyn and Michael founded the Minello Museum of American Art. Its purpose was to provide a home for their collection of paintings by Earl Cunningham, a folk artist who, had it not been for the passion of Marilyn Minello, would have been long forgotten. Marilyn told me the story in a 2003 interview.
And as we walked down the street, we saw in a very dirty window and grubby window these paintings on little easels, and they were wonderful. But then there was a sign that said, "These paintings are not for sale." So, as I often have said, you don't tell two women that, that something is not for sale, because they'll go crazy.
Discovering Cunningham was an accident, because she just happened to be on the right street in St. Augustine.
Frank Holt is the founding director of the Minello Museum.
And he ran a little shop that sold, he called it antiques and curios, if I'm not mistaken, but basically it was things like metal parts off of boats and like hinges and doorknobs and a little bit of this, a little bit of that, that, you know, he would find and pick up. But in the back of his studio, he was painting.
And it was just hung from floor to ceiling with these wonderful pictures. And we just, it was like leading kids into a candy shop. And we said, "Well, Mr. Cunningham, you have so many wonderful paintings here. Why wouldn't you just sell us each one?" "Well, because these are my children, and somebody's going to come buy all of them one day. And they're going to start a museum, because that's what I want."
And years after Earl Cunningham's death, that's exactly what Marilyn and Michael did. During that first encounter with Cunningham in 1969, she was able to convince the artist to sell her one painting. She also organized an art exhibit for him at the Orlando Museum of Art. But then he went back to keeping his paintings out of sight at the antique store in St. Augustine. Years later, after Marilyn had married Michael Minello, they decided to purchase another painting, only to discover that the artist had died in 1977, and no one knew what had happened to his paintings. After asking around, they were contacted by a man who had 62 of them and insisted that they be sold as a group. Frank Holt.
I think that she realized, after seeing not only the wonderful qualities which his paintings had, but she also realized that this man had a passion, and so she kind of inherited his passion, and it really wasn't until after his death that she and Michael just, for lack of a better word, became just passionate about tracking down Earl Cunningham paintings.
Over the next 20 years, Marilyn and Michael Minello found and purchased over 300 Earl Cunningham paintings, and in 1998 fulfilled the artist's dream of having a museum for them. The Minellos and the City of Orlando founded the Minello Museum of American Folk Art in Lock Haven Park. One dream that she did not live to see, however, is the opening next summer of an exhibit at the Smithsonian American Art Museum in Washington.
Marilyn has a very long history with that museum in Washington, which I think probably developed when she served on the, basically it was a Library and Museum Services Board that she was appointed to by President Reagan. And so she spent a lot of time in Washington, and she always, of course, had the great interest in art, and so she just kind of met people. This was one of her strong points. She never walked into a room and saw a stranger. And so she and the director and the curators at the Smithsonian started, you know, talking about the Cunningham exhibit, and it will open there in August of 2007. And then when it leaves Washington, it'll tour to several other museums in the United States before the works come back to Orlando. This was really her dream, was to have Cunningham at the Smithsonian in a one-man show. And it's the first one-man exhibit by a self-taught artist that the Smithsonian has organized.
Frank Holt is the director of the Minello Museum of American Art. Although she was known for her devotion to the arts, Marilyn was also well known for her graciousness and her charm.
I just always remember walking in the door, and there was Marilyn with her strikingly beautiful white hair and her big smile, and she just had a way of coming to you and shaking your hand and introducing yourself and making you feel like you're an important person to her, and which was one of her wonderful talents. She just pulled you in and made you feel like an important person.
Joyce Green met Marilyn about 6 years ago at a fundraising meeting for the Cattleman's Ball. Marilyn got her involved in the Friends of the Minello Museum, and she's now president of that organization. She is perhaps proof of another trait of Marilyn Minello, her ability to talk people into doing things they might not normally do.
It was very hard to say no to Marilyn, because she'd ask you the same question six different ways, and, you know, thinking that sooner or later you can say yes.
But it was that tenacity that probably convinced Earl Cunningham to sell her a painting, and it was that tenacity that allowed Marilyn Minello to have a major impact on the growth of the arts here in Central Florida.
She was just a wonderful, kind, and fun person, and that's to be with and to do projects with, and that's really what we're all going to miss.
She had a charismatic personality and a gracious style that was very engaging. And everyone who met her, I think, saw a spark in her that made them want to know her better.
She's going to be greatly missed, I know, by staff, and I already miss her. I've missed her for the past 6 months. But I think that, you know, her spirit will live on through the museum because this is her legacy to the community, she and Michael. And so I'm sure that it's the intent of the boards and the city and everybody who's involved with the museum that, you know, it just continues to grow, and that's what she wanted to see it do.
Frank Holt, Marina Grant Morrissey, and Joyce Green, remembering Central Florida Arts patron Marilyn Minello. She died Tuesday at the age of 81. Funeral services are scheduled for Monday, but there will be a visitation for the public on Sunday from 2 to 7 at the Minello Museum of American Art. For information, see the Arts Connection page of WMFE.org. The Arts Calendar is next, and then a trip along the Apalachicola River. This is 90.7 NPR News and Classical Music. I'm Becky Morgan.
Here's this week's Arts Calendar. I'm Dave Glarum. In music, Jazz for Peace is Friday at 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday at 2, a fundraiser for the Ice House Theater in Mount Dora. The District 10 Florida Bandmasters Association presents 18 high school marching bands, performing Saturday beginning at 2 p.m. at the Palm Bay High School Stadium. The Master Artists in Residence at Atlantic Center for the Arts will present their final public program Saturday night at 7:30. Inside Out features composer Lee Hyla, as well as visual artist Guillermo Kutka and writer S.J. Rosen. The Orlando Philharmonic presents Pancho Sanchez, an Afro-Cuban adventure, with two performances Saturday at the Bob Carr Center, 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. The Bel Canto Singers will perform the Brahms Requiem on Sunday at 3:30 at Ormond Beach Presbyterian Church. The Indie Atlantic Chamber Singers present their fall concert on Sunday at 4:30 p.m. at Eastminster Presbyterian Church. There are two concerts this week at the University of Central Florida: a faculty recital with Keith Coons, clarinet, and Gail Robertson, euphonium, on Tuesday at 8 p.m. and on Wednesday, UCF's annual Oktoberfest. Central Florida Cultural Endeavors presents two concerts on Thursday at 7:30 p.m. The bluegrass group Mountain Heart will perform at the Ormond Beach Performing Arts Center, and the St. Lawrence String Quartet plays as part of their Mozart Shostakovich project Thursday at Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church in Daytona Beach. In theater, this weekend, Orlando Repertory Theater presents four performances of Thomas Edison Invents, a one-man show by Mark Brotherton. The Orlando International Fringe Festival presents their Halloween fundraiser, All Hallows 10, featuring 10 10-minute Halloween-themed plays. Performances are this Friday and Saturday at 7 and next Friday and Saturday at the Parliament House. And a touring production of the musical Children's Letters to God comes to Lake Wales Arts Center on Saturday at 8. These plays open this week. Neil LaBute's This Is How It Goes at the Fred Stone Theater at Rollins College. Agatha Christie's The Unexpected Guest at the Little Theater of New Smyrna Beach. The Neil Simon comedy Jake's Women at Daytona Playhouse. Little Shop of Horrors presented by Nothing Productions at the Osceola Center for the Arts. Rocky Horror Picture Show at Surfside Playhouse in Cocoa Beach with performances Fridays and Saturdays at midnight through November 4th. UCF Conservatory Theater presents Fiddler on the Roof. The Orlando UCF Shakespeare Festival presents Miss Nelson Has a Field Day as part of their Darden Theater for Young Audiences series. And opening Tuesday at the Bob Carr Auditorium, All Shook Up, presented by Broadway in Orlando. In dance, the new U-Turn Dance Center opens with a weekend of special activities, including free dance classes and open rehearsals of U-Turn's upcoming production of Makulu. The new center is at 3580 Aloma Avenue in Winter Park. And the Fred Astaire Dance Studios will hold their 2006 National Dance Sport Championships, beginning next Wednesday at the Hilton Walt Disney Resort. In visual arts, an open house and artist lecture with photographer Ken Light is Wednesday at 6 p.m. at the Southeast Museum of Photography in Daytona. Many more events can be found online. Log on to WMFE.org and click on the Arts Connection logo. For the Arts Connection, I'm Dave Glarum.